You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Mailbag Edition. Today's episode is, it's your show, is the way I like to say it. Every Tuesday, I answer your questions from Twitter and maybe a couple of emails as well. I always say I'm going to get to the emails. They're usually too long, but I promise I'm going to actually start with the emails. So that way I make sure I don't miss any emails on today's program. Never know what direction these questions will take us. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. At BD Peacock on Twitter is where you can find me and where you can get involved in these mailbags. We'll hit some more questions tomorrow with Wink on another Winky Wednesday. Email lockedon49ers@gmail.com. Let's check in on those emails with Cooper. Says, hey, Brian, is it time to move away from Jaquaski Tart? Harris and Moore played very well Sunday. Could they trade him for a third rounder? I think they could get something in return for Jaquaski Tart. And the 49ers replacements, I agree. Harris and Moore played really well Sunday. But the 49ers are not in a position to sell. I think that win against the Patriots was huge. If they would have lost that game and were at 3-4, heading toward the trade deadline, they might have taken some offers. Jaquaski Tart's a guy who's heading into unrestricted free agency. Are they going to be able to sign a lot of players like that with the way that Harris and Moore are playing? Do they have the opportunity to move away from one of their veteran safeties and save some money? I think they do. So, it's crazy to say that one win made that much of a difference. If we're sitting here on Tuesday and the Niners are 3-4 and just lost to the Patriots and are a couple games out of three, everybody else in the division has five wins, and the Niners are at 3-4. Maybe you start taking some calls that you might not have taken, and Tart could have definitely been one of those guys. I could absolutely see that. Some contenders could use a really good player like Jaquaski Tart, and maybe he's not in their long-term plans. But the Niners aren't in a position right now if they're trying to win, and I think they are. They're definitely going for it. This is a win-now regime. They're not going to trade any pieces because what happens if you trade Tart, then Harris gets hurt. We've seen the injury bug. We've seen how that's hit the 49ers. Then where are you at safety? So the 49ers aren't in any position right now to trade any starters. I think that's currently the mindset of the organization, even though Tart could, I think, bring something back. And I don't think Tart is a player that the 49ers necessarily are going to try really hard to re-sign in the offseason. I will go back to the emails, but if we're talking trades, there is a tweet here from Travis who said, if the Niners did a player-for-player swap, let's say Dante Pettis for Green Bay cornerback Josh Jackson, how would that affect the salary cap? That's an interesting hypothetical trade because both Dante Pettis and Josh Jackson have been disappointing for their current teams. Both of them were second-round draft picks in 2018. Right? They're part of the same draft class. So to answer your question, Travis, since they're both second-round picks in their third season, the salary cap effect would be basically zero. They make the same money. It's not a crazy idea either because the 49ers could use some depth at corner, and Josh Jackson hasn't played great in the NFL and is sort of their version of Dante Pettis, who's been disappointing and hasn't been a huge factor. But I think zone corner, the 49ers play a lot of zone. I think that's exactly the type of player he was coming out of college. Maybe got drafted a little bit high. I remember he made a bunch of interceptions at Iowa, and I think that's how he got on the map and on the radar. But 4'5", speed, 6 feet, you know, has some length. The type of player I think the 49ers would like at corner. He could fit with the 49ers and provide some depth and maybe be a nice little change up for both players. And I could see Dante Pettis being a nice fit for the Packers as well. So yeah, that's a trade that makes some sense because of the needs of both teams, because of how both teams are with an injury situation and needing some depth at those positions. Both second round picks, then the money would be negligible. It'd be pretty much a wash as far as salary cap goes, trading those two players for each other. Although the Packers might be wanting corners too, because they've had some trouble covering the other side of the field across from Jaire Alexander, who's been one of the better young cornerbacks in the league since he was drafted by the Packers. And Kevin King, the other corner there in Green Bay, who was drafted in 2017, I believe was very close to being a San Francisco 49er. Based on the Peter King article, and when he was embedded with the 49ers draft room in 2017, if the Niners didn't trade up for Reuben Foster and Foster was gone and the Niners had a pick at the top of the second round, Kevin King was going to be the guy. And they ended up making that trade, drafted Foster, and the Packers took King at the top of the second round. So Kevin King, Josh Jackson, yeah, interesting corners there that the Packers have, and they're having trouble covering people. And that Packers defense actually showing some warts, I think, recently. I don't think they're that different of a team that the 49ers saw last year, so that'll be an interesting matchup in a couple weeks, and would be even more interesting if they did that swap with Josh Jackson and Dante Pettis, and I don't dislike that move. And, you know, I think a smart team would be targeting Dante Pettis because it's a buy-low opportunity for a player who can get open in the NFL and catch footballs. I think he has potential for an NFL future if his mind is right and he's not completely ruined. A new change of scenery, I think, could help Dante Pettis quite a bit. So, if I'm a team and fitting with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and they need a player that's a little bit different because they have a bunch of statues. They have a bunch of tall, big wide receivers aside from Davante Adams. I think they could use a guy with a little bit of wiggle like Dante Pettis. Email from Jared. He says, great W against the Pats. Let's keep this momentum going. But he has some questions about some moves. He says, to me, the Sanu release was odd when it happened and still doesn't seem to make sense. Now that Pettis is openly being traded, why would we have not kept Sanu? Seems like we could have used him right now, especially with the Richie James injury. Is he still available to pick back up? I think the veteran presence alone would be valuable. Yeah, I was critical of that move too because of, and we've seen with the lack of impact some other wide receivers have made on the roster, Sanu would have seemed to be, even if he didn't play at all, could have made some impact as a veteran player with some of the young wide receivers on the roster. But Sanu is still a free agent, so nobody's picked him up. Niners could pick him up right now. So the move in that context makes complete sense because nobody else picked him up. The Niners could still go grab him if they did trade Pettis and they wanted to add some reinforcements at wide receiver. I don't know if it's going to go that way. I haven't heard any news in that direction. But Juwan Jennings, there was a question about Juwan Jennings. Where is he at? He's not on injured reserve, but he's on the practice squad injured list, which is a weird list that I didn't know existed, which is essentially the IR of the practice squad. I don't remember anything. It's been basically silent on Juwan Jennings. He had like one practice or two practices in the summer, and some beat writers liked what they saw, and then just crickets with him, and then he didn't make the team and went to the practice squad. Now he's on the practice squad / injured list. He's the only player on that list for the 49ers, so he's not available for the Niners. Maybe it's the Kevin White game. I'm intrigued by Kevin White. I saw, and again, this is such a stupid thing and such a small sample size, but I saw him, some video of him running routes in training camp after they picked him up. And it was him and I think Sean Poindexter, who is not on the roster at all, didn't make the 49ers, and Dante Pettis. I think that's maybe it. And it just showed a couple of reps of some routes. And he looked so much better than those guys. Just like big and fast and sharp out of his breaks. I don't know if he was trying to impress the new coaching staff because it was his first or second day on the field or whatever it was, and it was warm-ups for the other guys. But Kevin White, 6'3", 215 pounds, ran a 4.37 40 a few years ago. And I know he's bounced around the league and he's had a ton of injury problems, but the 49ers don't have anybody that's really got that skill set. And I would be interested to see Kevin White taking some snaps for the Niners, and he did return one kickoff, which he's never done in the NFL, and ill-advised take it out of the end zone and took it back to like the 14-yard line. That was it. That's all we've seen of Kevin White so far as a 49er. So they might call him back up from the practice squad, and that would be an interesting maneuver. And Sanu is still out there, so maybe they could bring Mohamed Sanu back too. So there definitely are some options, even without Debo and Richie James and Dante Pettis right now. But maybe Dante Pettis will just suit up and have one more showcase for teams that might be trying to trade for him. More of your questions coming up, Locked On 49ers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. refreshing sidekick for whichever game you're most focused on. I personally, paying it a little extra close attention now, got some more skin in the game this season with us keeping track of our picks on the Peacock and Williamson podcast every week. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day to become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Do you want to keep your vehicle running smooth? Do you want to keep your family safe in that vehicle? Do you want to save some money? Then you got to go to rockauto.com. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. rockauto.com, you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The website is no nonsense. I love it. Super easy to find exactly what you need for exactly your vehicle. And yes, your vehicle is covered. Unbelievable amount of vehicles from every make and model, dating back to since before anybody who was listening to this podcast was born. It's pretty amazing the selection that rockauto.com has. Everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, jumper cables, small, big parts, whatever it is you need a new tailgate, you need wiper blades, you can find it at rockauto.com. It's a unique and remarkably easy to navigate website. Their catalog is huge. Quickly find all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. And those prices, by the way, always reliably low. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection at reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Let's go to Demetrio on Twitter. He says, "Hey, Brian, I'm excited to see the run game dominate opposing defenses, but could the lack of a passing attack be contributing to the running back injuries? Debo hurt now too. Curious your thoughts. Thanks." I appreciate the question, Demetrio. Yeah, you treat somebody like a running back and they're going to get injured like a running back. The attrition rate at running back is crazy in the NFL. It's one of the reasons why running backs don't matter and why you don't pay running backs, because they're easily replaceable and there's a lot of good ones out there. And you can find really good undrafted free agents, in fact, as the 49ers know better than anyone. So, it is rough. And you've seen the way, like, Debo runs physical. He runs like a running back. He's a powerful guy, and he's got that hybrid ability. But the more you hand off the ball to Debo Samuel, the higher, in any player, the higher chances that they are getting hurt. And I don't know if that's why he got hurt. And, you know, there's wide receivers that catch the ball more than Debo, but he's going to mix it up with some bigger people when he's running the ball and grabbing the ball behind the line of scrimmage than a wide receiver would being tackled by a corner. So there's definitely something to that. And there were some questions. I don't have the tweets pulled up right now, but there were some questions about how the 49ers could do without Debo Samuel, maybe just use more Jerick McKinnon, use more of running backs, have a couple of running backs on the field at the same time, and play that Debo role we've seen from the last few weeks. But with Kyle Shanahan, I think the reason Debo works is because, and this is one of the big things with Kyle Shanahan and his offense, is he knows the rules. He knows the rules of the game. He knows when he puts a personnel package out there what the defense has to do in response. So he's using those rules that the defense is playing by against them. So when he puts a running back on the field who can catch the ball, like Jerick McKinnon, he's got the advantage because now he can move him around and use him as a receiver and do the opposite thing that the defense is prepared for when they see that package on the field. And it goes the same when Debo Samuel's on the field. The defense treats him like a wide receiver. So if Shanahan uses him like a running back and not a receiver, advantage Shanahan. So that's why he likes to have these personnel packages that look like 21 personnel, two running backs, one tight end, but he can do a lot of different things with them, and everybody can run the ball, and everybody can catch the ball. And he can use those schemes against the defense because he knows the rules of the game, and he's using numbers, and he's using what he has at his disposal against them. So replacing Debo with a running back doesn't really work, but he just drafted a first-round wide receiver who was the closest thing to Debo Samuel in the draft in Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk can do all of those Debo things. They can do all the shovel passes, all the handoffs, all the orbit motions, whatever. They can do all of that with Brandon Ayuk. So that's who I would expect to be the guy who's carrying the ball, and hopefully you don't get him hurt handing him the ball and giving him shovel passes all game And who replaces Ayuk as the receiver is the question. So then you've got Kendrick Bourne out there. You still have Trent Taylor. And I wonder who some of the other receivers that might get a shot are with Debo and Richie James. Oh, man, this is Richie James. This was his opportunity, too. And he's not going to get it now with Dante on the trade block and Debo out and Richie James now continually getting hurt, which definitely hurts his stock with the team, because I would have loved to see him get some of that stuff. He could have done a lot of the stuff Debo was doing as well, although not as physical a runner as Debo is. Ron effing Swanson says, it's like the football gods are clearing the field for Hasty. It seems like that. I thought Hasty was going to get a shot last week, and then all of a sudden at the end of the week, it's like, oh, Jeff Wilson's back. And then he jumps in there and rushes for 100 yards and 3 touchdowns. And Hasty looked good as well. I like Hasty a lot. Hasty is legitimately legitimate. He is two legitimates on Hasty's name, because he is going to be a really good running back in this league. He's got everything you need. He's got vision. He's got balance. And he's got burst, and he's a perfect fit for Kyle Shanahan's offense. He can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. So I'm interested to see how it goes. I have a feeling Tevin Coleman's going to come back and get the start and take a lot of those carries, and maybe all the carries, or maybe most of them, like we saw with Jeff Wilson last week. But when they do give Hasty his shot, I have no doubt that he's going to blow up and he's going to do big things in the 49ers offense, because it's such a good fit. And we've seen some glimpses now to know that he's a legitimate running back, and he's definitely not going to the practice squad ever again. And the 49ers might not ever have enough healthy running backs to have to worry about a roster crunch at that position. So that'll be interesting going forward. And it is seeming like it's just going to continue going until Hasty finally is the last man standing and does get his shot. Although it's pretty crazy how McKinnon might end up being the last man standing with what he's gone through for the last couple of years. And I've talked a lot about on this show how I didn't like the McKinnon signing when it happened. I think he's not a great pure running back. I don't think he ever has been. He's definitely not now. And he's a little bit sluggish getting to the line of scrimmage. He's the slowest running back in the league getting to the line of scrimmage. After he's handed the ball, he still has some lateral agility. He's still a good receiver, but he's just not a great running back. So I think all of the early down carries should go to other running backs, and you try to keep McKinnon healthy and not give him too many touches, and he's not helping you there anywhere anyway. So just use him as the third down back, let him pass protect and go out on routes and move around and do some of those things, because that's what he's really good at. And then don't get him hurt by trying to make him the workhorse. I think that's the smart thing to do with Jerick McKinnon, which points to Jermichael Hasty getting a lot of touches in upcoming games. And it seems like that's the way the 49ers decided to do things last week, and I like it. So I'm excited to see more of Jermichael Hasty for sure. Justin says, if an NFC West team gets first place and the other three teams get the wild card spots, there's a chance only NFC West teams will be in the divisional round of the playoffs. That's wild. That is wild. That's a great point, Justin. I never really thought about it that way. I've talked a lot about what the NFC West looks like right now and what opponents they've had and what their records are. And by the way, the Rams added another victory against a team that is non-division that is above 500, beating the Bears on Monday Night Football. And they beat the Bears handily on Monday Night Football. I don't know what the final score was, 24-10 or something like that. But that was, and that's what we need to see more of, because I know the NFC West is good. I believe all four of these teams are pretty darn good compared to some other teams in the league, but they just haven't seen it. And they've had such an easy schedule so far. I think it's important to see teams like the Rams go beat the Bears, who were 5-1 coming in on Monday Night Football. I think that's really important. So the Bears fall to 5-2. The Rams improve to 5-2. And by the way, the 49ers right now, even if they win next week against the Seahawks, will still be guaranteed to be at best tied for last place in the NFC West. Seattle's at 5-1, so they'll be at 5-2 if the 49ers win. Niners would be at 5-3. Cards have a bye, so they'll be at 5-2, so they'll have a better record for sure. And the Rams would have to lose to the Dolphins to be just 5-3 to tie the 49ers. So all four teams in the NFC West could have 5 wins when we're talking again next Tuesday here on the show, depending on what happens this weekend. So it's a wild division so far, and the schedules do get a little bit more difficult for a lot of these teams. The Seahawks see the Niners and the Bills coming up. A lot of division matchups as well. In fact, the Seahawks have 3 out of 4 division matchups coming up. They're going to see Niners, Bills, Rams, Cards. The 49ers have the Seahawks, Green Bay Packers, New Orleans Saints, and then a bye. So all three teams with very good records right now. The Cardinals have a bye. Then they have Miami, Buffalo, Seattle, and the Rams at 5-2 currently have Miami. Then their bye. Then they're going to play Seattle and then Tampa Bay. So we're going to learn a lot about these teams coming up because they're going to play each other and they have some very difficult non-division opponents coming up in the next 3-4 weeks. I don't know where this one came from, but Dan says, why does Steve Young almost always look like he just took his helmet off? Love the guy either way. Go Niners. He does have like permanent helmet hair. It's a fantastic observation by Dan. That's the kind of observations we need here on the podcast. Good scouting there. You got to scout the hair. A lot of old school scouts used to scout players' faces. Like, nah, he's got a bad face. Nah, this guy. And I've done that too. You see players, and you're like, man, is this guy really like Kyle Orton or Mike Glennon? You see them as quarterback prospects and like big dudes with big arms. You're like, man, I don't like that guy's face. I don't think he's got an NFL future. Steve Young has an NFL face and helmet hair. That's a good sign, I think, if a guy looks like he's always got a helmet on, even if he hasn't put a helmet on in 20 years. All right, let's finish this up with your questions on this mailbag episode of Locked On 49ers. It's amazing what the 49ers are doing right now with how many players they've brought up from the practice squad and the depth on this roster coming through and playing big in big moments. We saw both Marcel Harris and Tarvarius Moore play awesome at safety last week against the Patriots. And in a lot of ways, Tarvarius Moore is making a case that the Niners did not need to sign Jimmy Ward to a long-term contract, or that Jimmy Ward might be expendable, or that maybe it's Jimmy Ward and Tarvarius Moore that might need to be the pairing going forward. I don't know. They're both very slim guys, and I don't know if you'd want to put one of those guys in the box full-time as a strong safety if they did let Jaquaski Tartt walk or traded him, as was suggested earlier in the podcast. Undrafted running back after undrafted running back performing well for the 49ers. And who knows, we might see another one. The People's tight end on Twitter says, will Austin Walters be active this week if Coleman isn't? And if they put another running back on injured reserve, I think Walters might get activated either way, even if Coleman is ready to play. And if you guys aren't familiar, Austin Walters is currently a running back on the practice squad, a 5'8", 202-pound running back out of Rice, shaped very similarly to Jamichael Hasty with that height and weight. And he spent last year on somebody else's practice squad. I don't have much of a scouting report on Austin Walter. There was no preseason games to watch. I don't remember him standing out huge to me at Rice like Jamichael Hasty did at Baylor, who was someone I identified as like, oh my God, this guy's a perfect fit for Kyle Shanahan. I thought he was going to be a late round draft pick, and I was super stoked when I saw him get signed by the 49ers as an undrafted free agent, just because I thought it was such an awesome fit, which is why I'm so excited to see Jamichael Hasty play more running back for the 49ers. And, you know, that goes along with what we've seen already from him. And that has definitely come to fruition in some short spurts, but Austin Walter could be a guy that is the next man up for the 49ers. And guess what? If he gets a shot, I bet he's going to perform. Tay B wants to know if the 49ers can make it through a game without losing a player with a high ankle sprain. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the high ankles right now. Can they tape those up tighter? Is that something that you can do? It's a really crazy injury, and it's a frustrating injury because it can linger for a bit. And for a quarterback, it's one thing to come back, but when you're seeing a running back get it, or a wide receiver, or a corner, or somebody that really needs to drive off of that leg and a position that's built on athleticism, I think that can take a lot longer. And it's looking like it's going to be maybe a month or more for Jeffrey Wilson now with his high ankle sprain. So that's a rough one. And I don't know why high ankle sprains is all of a sudden the injury du jour for the 49ers, but it's pretty frustrating. And Deebo Samuel going out. I mean, the 49ers, I guess, are lucky. It wasn't something worse with Jeff Wilson, and it was only a hamstring. Saw Deebo Samuel limp off the field and holding his knee. It's like, oh, is this going to be an ACL or something like that? So it's like, you'll take a hamstring at this point. versus some of the other injuries it could be and some of the other injuries we've seen to some 49ers. But, man, it's insane. They're going to be pretty much at some point have played a second string player at every single position as a starter on the team before the year's over. Let's go to Enrique on Twitter. He says, "Hey, Brian, what's up?" Not much, Enrique. Thank you for the question. "I'm feeling like I'm the least optimistic fan right now. Do you think it's reasonable to have a lot of doubt and worries about our passing game? I only saw two passes that were not screens or play action. I'd like to hear your take about it." There's two sides of this. One, yes, it seems not sustainable, but on the other side, it's working, and it's worked for two straight weeks. And I thought, okay, Bill Belichick's going to have a plan to beat this, and he didn't, or maybe he did, and it didn't work. So, and when you look at strengths and weaknesses of the 49ers roster, trying to protect Jimmy Garoppolo's, I think, still bad ankle that he can't completely fire off, it might be the best way to go for right now. But when they need to, when they're not ahead, when they can't play bully ball, when they can't get a lead running the football, or when running the football just doesn't work, and they need to throw for first downs, and you got to throw past the sticks, can the 49ers do it? They're going to have to do that at some point. Can they do it is the big question. So I'm with you. It's worrisome, and they haven't really fired like that all year long. Can they keep it up and keep winning in the way that they're doing right now and get into the playoffs, and then maybe Jimmy's healthy and his ankle's better, then they can fire off a little bit of a different offense with all of their personnel or most of their personnel back? Maybe. It's sort of a wait and see right now. And the last 2 weeks, at least, whatever they're doing is working. So keep doing it until it doesn't work. And I think every week we're seeing some progression from Garoppolo. And I still fully believe that he hasn't had his bottom half underneath him. And last week on a couple of throws, I think you can see that. And so I think Kyle Shanahan is 100% is protecting his quarterback. He's protecting Garoppolo, knowing he can't throw it deep down the field, utilizing the running game, protecting his offensive line as well, who's had some woes early in the season. Everybody, I think, gaining confidence. I think that all helps, and it should all look a little bit better theoretically later in the season, because I think the personnel and the health will allow that to happen. That's the idea anyway. We'll see how it goes. But again, it's a fair question. If the 49ers can't run the ball, can they go out there and win a football game? And I don't know the answer to that. And it seems like the answer to that might be no right now. Steve on Twitter says, "The Russell Wilsons have the worst point differential in the division." But you already knew that. I did know that because I talked on the Peacock and Williamson show about, and he was responding to, talking about the record and how NFC West teams haven't really beat a lot of good teams yet. The Rams did a number on the 5-1 Bears on Monday Night Football, which I think was a big win for them after losing earlier in the season to the only other team they faced with a winning record, which was the Buffalo Bills, or a winning record at the time. They did face the Niners with a winning record. They lost that too. So they lost the Bills, they lost the Niners, finally beat a team with a winning record, did the Rams on Monday Night Football and the Chicago Bears. And the Seattle Seahawks still have not beat a team with a winning record. To the point made by Steve on Twitter, yeah, it's funny because the NFC West is the only division in the NFL that all four teams have a plus differential. And actually, going by ESPN stats and info here, the Bears are now 5-2 despite being outscored by 2 on the season. So the Bears have a -2 differential on the season, yet they're still 5-2. Believe it or not, that's the third worst differential by a 5-2 team this season. There's two other teams. The Browns are -21, and the Bills are -4 on the season in plus minus on their point totals, which is pretty hard to believe. And ESPN Stats and Info goes on to say that it's the first time in the Super Bowl era that three teams have started 5-2 or better while being outscored. So under that context, when you compare where the Seahawks are compared to those, I mean, the Seahawks are plus 30 still, right? The Seahawks are still plus 31 at 5-1. So they're nowhere near that with some of those teams that might be paper tigers. The Cardinals plus 57 lead the division in plus minus point differential. The Rams are plus 52. The Niners are plus 45. It's the only division in the NFL that everybody's on the plus side of the differential. In the NFC East, I believe, let me double check, they were last week when I looked. Yes, they, oh my God, it's getting worse. The NFC East is still the only division where everybody's on the negative side of that. The Eagles at 2-4-1 are minus 33. Washington at 2-5, minus 32 points on the season. Cowboys are minus 67. And the Giants are minus 52. That division's crazy. Three teams have two wins, and the Giants are 1-6. It's a mockery. It's a sham mockery that a team gets to go to the playoffs in the NFC East, and one of the teams in the NFC West might not make it. Who knows, though? With the new structure, all four teams, theoretically, in the NFC West could make the playoffs. Will it happen with them all beating up on each other? I highly doubt it. It'll be difficult. You've got the 4-2 Saints still, and the 5-2 Bucks, and the 5-2 Bears, and the 5-1 Packers to contend with, some other teams that are near 500 as well. So it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a difficult run for the 49ers where they're at, even though they're 4-3 and they're in an okay spot. Not going to be easy. According to ESPN, they have just over a 50% chance at making the playoffs this year, but they control their destiny still. A lot of season to go, and they could rip off some wins against some teams. Double whammy, some teams that might be currently ahead of them, like the Saints and the Packers in the playoff pecking order currently. All right, good stuff. Thanks for all the questions, everybody. Apologies if I did not get to your questions. Going to hit some more tomorrow with Nick Winkler on Winky Wednesday. Then, of course, crossover Thursday, Keys to Victory Friday. We're back at it again. It's Seahawks week on Locked On 49ers.